Hello everyone and welcome to our final episode of our Talking Melanoma series. Over the last 8 episodes, we have been able to hear from some incredible experts and patient voices on what melanoma is, how it's treated, what it truly means to be a melanoma patient and survivor, and much more. Today, we have the privilege of speaking to Dr. Trina McCarthy from the National Cancer Control Programme about melanoma prevention, which I think is one of the most important messages to leave you with. Thanks so much for being with us today, Trina. Can you tell us what the National Cancer Control Programme is and what work you and your team are doing?
Well, of course, thanks for having me on today. So I work with the National Cancer Control Programme, which is part of the HSE. And our remit is to look at cancer control, everything from risk reduction through to the experience of those being diagnosed and treated with cancer, and then on to those living with and beyond cancer as well. And I suppose my interest in having a public health background is particularly looking at how we can reduce the burden of cancer in Ireland. And you know, skin cancer is one of our commonest cancers, unfortunately. So we've done work with the Healthy Ireland part of the Department of Health, looking at how we could develop a skin cancer prevention plan. So that all took place 2 years ago, and following on from that, we brought together a really energetic group of people who were involved either in the treatment of people with skin cancer or also in different guises in terms of advocating for helping people to reduce their risk of skin cancer. So it's been a really exciting journey so far. So I'll be happy to share some of our experiences with you.
Well, I suppose within that strategy, there's obviously prioritization groups. And I know that one of those would be children and probably outdoor workers, as well as maybe those seeking outdoor activities and sunbed users. But I know for the purpose of today, we'd love to talk about children and probably learn a little bit more about outdoor workers as well.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose to go back to sort of how our skin gets damaged in the first place, I suppose, and how our risk of skin cancer is increased. I mean, it's from the UV radiation that comes that we get in the sun primarily, or also it can be from artificial sources such as sunbeds that can cause the DNA damage in our skin. So it's relevant to all of us in terms of how we can reduce our risk. But as you said, children in particular, because they have quite vulnerable skin at a young age, and we know that sunburn in particular, young children who have 3 episodes of sunburn, that they are going to significantly increase their risk of melanoma later in life. So that's an area, as you said, one of our target groups is to see how we can protect the vulnerable skin of our children. If I can mention just there was an excellent study carried out, the Health Behaviour and School Children study that was carried out by NUIG, which looked at over 10,000 children. And it was very sobering to see that this would have been children aged 10 to 17, and almost 90% of them had been sunburned, and about 3/4 of them had been sunburned in the previous year. So while we feel we're maybe learning more about how to protect our skin, there's still an awful lot of work to do with children. The work that the Skin Cancer Implementation Group is looking at, it's looking across all the different sectors. You're looking at supporting parents and families. So we have the mychild.ie resource in the HSE, which gives good information to parents on the health and well-being of their children. So to incorporate the messages in there, that parents know from a young age what to do with children. And it all comes back to, we like to mention the 5 S's in terms of slip, slap, slop, seek and slide. So this was the number one thing being, that whether it's for children or for everyone else, to cover your skin and protect it from UV radiation is the number one step. So I suppose we get a little excited in Ireland when we see a bit of heat and sunshine, and there can be the spaghetti strap tops and that, but really having the, you know, the shoulders covered or having the long sleeves, having the neck covered, that's really the, you know, an excellent line of defense. And then that sunscreen is for the exposed areas of your skin, you know, the ones that you can't cover up. So using your sunscreen correctly, you know, slapping on your hat then on your head as well, and ideally your wide brimmed hat so that you give proper cover of the ears and the neck. Sliding on your sunglasses. So again, you know, I think the children look great in the little wraparound sunglasses. I think you can get some really lovely ones now, and it just protects the sunlight coming in from the side of the eyes. And then we'd say seeking shade as well. So in Ireland, you know, it's really the, you know, from April to September that the sun can cause damage to our skin. So particularly around the middle of the day, you know, that the children could play in the shade or, you know, have breaks in the shade, you know, whether it's a nice cool tree or coming indoors for their lunch, you know. So it's the same message to all age groups, but I think we just need to be particularly conscious of how we look after our children's skin. I mean, there's some great other pieces of work then, initiatives such as looking at, you know, summer camps for children, for example, getting them to play games where they get to learn about how to, you know, take care of their skin. Initiatives with our public health nurses, who are, you know, sort of the first port of call for parents so often, and giving them advice about the health of their children, and you know, supporting our public health nurses in really reinforcing that message as well.
That's excellent, Trina. One thing you mentioned there was about sunscreen itself. Can you give us a little bit more information there about, you know, sun protection factor for children and for adults?
Yeah, so I mean, I suppose the first thing I'd say about sunscreen is to use liberally. You know, that's probably the, you know, whatever factor your sunscreen is or whatever's written on the bottle, the thing most of us are guilty of is maybe just not using enough of it, you know. So it's not how expensive your sunscreen is or anything. It's, you know, using the type that's, you know, the brand that suits your skin, but really being generous. I just think we kind of underestimate really how much, you know, that you need to get good coverage of your skin, or it doesn't matter what factor sunscreen it is. Obviously, the higher the factor, the better the protection, particularly on those different types of radiation. But for the UVB radiation, we would say that for adults that, you know, you should really go for a factor 30 or above. And for children, then, you know, you want to get the maximum protection, so that, you know, the very high protection ones would be 50 plus. And then you can see other star ratings, which is you know, so a high 4 or 5 star rating on the sunscreen, that's to protect you against the other type of radiation, which is UVA, which can damage your skin as well. So if you can go for a high star, and as I said, 30 plus for an adult and 50 plus for children, that's what we'd recommend in terms of the factor. The other thing to be really careful about, though, is you know, not to just put it on in the morning and then forget about it. So unfortunately, you know, it might seem messy and sticky and all that, but it doesn't stay on religiously for the whole day. And whether it's, you know, playing sports or, you know, getting sweaty or just, you know, being rubbed off by clothes, it's reapplying it is the other thing that you need to be conscious of, you know. And then always remembering that sunscreen is it's just your last line of defense when the other measures don't work, you know, for the places where you know, where you can't where you know, where you can't cover your skin with clothing or else, you know, it's the
great barrier, isn't it, between you, protecting you, and the ultraviolet rays.
Yes. Yeah. And
I'd like to bring Bernie in here for a minute. Bernie, like, you work in and prepare webinar presentations and presentations face to face in schools with young children. How do you manage that, and what is their reaction to the information that you're giving them?
I guess young children and the sun, they don't always think of themselves at risk. And I think that's where our, you know, NCCP and ourselves and many others have a lot of work to do, where we could possibly work with young people and educate them more about the risk to their skin, especially at a very young age. And I think in talking to young people, we need to really bring in the topic of sunbeds. And that's where I'd love Trina to talk a little bit more about sunbed and the our sunbed act, what is the policy in Ireland with sunbeds, because we do know children are still using the sunbeds. And when I talk to the children, you know, we will talk about cancer prevention and sunbeds, but if they more listen when I talk about this can make you look old and wrinkle your skin. And really, I often use that strategy when educating young children. If we just talk cancer, they never really in general think that that they are at risk of skin cancer, even though in educating the children, we say you may not be at risk now, but it's what you do now that can increase your risk down the line. So I'd love Trina to talk a little bit more about sunbeds and sunbed dangers to children.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it is one where, you know, we have had to, we were delighted, I suppose, to have our sunbed legislation enforced, you know, a few years back and to at least have us, you know, that children under 18 shouldn't be using commercial sunbeds. It doesn't sort of, you know, doesn't mean that children aren't using sunbeds that are in private homes, for example, and also as you said, even just for them to understand from an early age that, you know, that sunbeds are an artificial source of UV radiation and they don't have any health benefits. So I mean, there's that there's something that are unnecessary, and as you said, you know, using the fake tan or else getting used to your natural color skin is probably the best way of doing it. And it is you know, it is a message people have struggled with getting across in other countries too, you know, how to say, well, actually, you know, tan skin is damaged skin, you know, that's it's not a sign of being healthy. You know, we want people to be outdoors and enjoying the fresh air and all that, but that sort of tanned glow, that's, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean you're healthy, you know, and definitely getting it on a sunbed is something that we want, you know, children and young people. And it's getting into the teenage years too. I mean, even when you look at the you know, when you get into young adults, for example, so if you look across the whole population, you know, said about 3% of people had, you know, were regular sunbed users among adults. But, you know, those who were 25 to 34 were the highest users at about 7%. So, you know, it's being able to focus on that as well, as, you know, young people trying to, you know, look healthy and attractive, you know, and having sunbeds in the, you know, see viewed in that way. Whereas in particular, I suppose it's the fact that if you use sunbeds at a younger age, it's increasing your risk of melanoma in later life. That's indisputable.
And I know when I was working in the group with you, Trina, we used to say pale is beautiful. You know, that's the message we really need to get out there, isn't it? Like, and I know throughout our own lives, we've always thought that having a healthy glow and a tan, you know, makes you look better. But that's actually not at all true. Do you want to add anything more to that, Bernie?
Yeah, I guess I think you're right, Helen, in saying pale is beautiful. But I guess looking at Ireland as a multicultural country at the moment, I think I would also think it's important to highlight that no matter what our skin color, we're all at risk of skin cancer. And the importance of being aware of our skin and checking our skin for changes. And I think, you know, the children, once we kind of work with them and educate them, I think it's very important. And maybe as well bringing in some information about the UV index, because is it enough to look out the window and think, oh, it's cloudy out there, I'm okay, I don't need to worry about sunscreen? How important is the UV index? And perhaps, Trina, I'd love you to chat about that. And you know, I know Met Éireann has lots of information on their website. I particularly love the video by Evelyn Cusack on explaining the UV index. And I know in talking to children in school, they really get the UV index. I know it's not the be-all and end-all, but it's possibly, I would have thought, a good indicator.
I suppose, like, we've talked a lot about education in schools. Bernie, you worked in Australia. Was there a good program of education for children in schools there?
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, I would have worked a lot in Victoria in rolling out skin cancer campaigns. I'll always recall, and the children used to like this, and they saw it on the back of the buses. They liked it, but it worried them. We would have had no suntan is worth dying for. And I think the message got out there fast about embracing our natural skin color. And we do know in Australia that in the schools and the creches and in all the childhood facilities, there's a lot provided now around protecting the children, whether it's making shade available in the schools, sunscreens, etc. And I'd love some initiative in that in Ireland. And I know I'm working with the NCCP, which I'm delighted to say I'm working in the section with young people and children. And this is something, you know, we're hopefully going to look at. But I think when you start engaging young children and starting working with the schools and working with the creches and working with the, you know, the facilitators of these premises in looking at what can be done to protect children. Because as you say, Trina, it's not one measure. It's not just the sunscreen, you know, the shade, you know, the other measures that we can also do in protecting children.
Trina, I'm going to ask you now about the UV index. Can you explain that to us?
Sure. So if we think about the sun shining in Ireland from January through the year, it's obviously that doesn't quite hit our country the same way in January as it does as the year goes on. So really for the first couple of months of the year and really until you get into March or April, the amount of UV radiation that's hitting our skin, you know, is very low. So the UV index is a way of measuring how much of the damaging UV radiation is hitting our skin. And really from, I kind of usually like to think maybe after Patrick's Day is probably the time when you start to see it rising. And the meteorologists, so those in Met Éireann have a scale, it's kind of a WHO agreed scale, which looks at, goes from 1 up to 11. Now we never see 11s in this country, but in the winter it would be 1 or 2, which means it's not going to cause any damage to your skin. And then when you get from 3 above, it means that at some stage during the day it goes to 3 or above and that you really need to be taking care to protect your skin. So it's invisible, I suppose. There's no heat coming from UV radiation. It's light rays that are hitting your skin. So it doesn't matter if it's a windy, cool day. You know, it could be a cool April or May day it could be a gale blowing even. But the amount of radiation from the sun, you know, that day could be enough to cause damage. And that's what the UV index helps. You know, it separates the you know, how you're feeling, you know. So if you're warm and hot, you might think, oh, maybe I should put on some sunscreen. Well, actually, you know, it could be on the, it could nearly be riskier on the windy days because it keeps you cool and you don't realize it. And similarly, yes, the cloud can block some of the UV radiation, but there can be light cloud there. It doesn't feel very hot, but the UV radiation still comes through the cloud and can damage your skin. So we tend to see it rising from, as I said, kind of Patrick's Day, Easter onwards. And then even during the day, then I suppose the UV index tends to get higher around midday. So you're going from, say, 11 to 3 would be the time when you're most likely to get the damage to your skin. And then again, at the other end of the summer, you know, get into August and September, it starts to get lower again. And really then from September onwards, you know, after that, then it's getting back down to the ones and the twos. So it does help us, you know, look at, you know, what is the potential for damage to your skin in Ireland. I think, you know, where we are in Ireland at the minute with people probably staying at home for their holidays, obviously, you know, people aren't going on sun holidays abroad and stuff. It is really helpful for people to take a look at the UV index and see those threes and fours, you know, starting to pop up already. And you can say, well, you know, even the sun's rays in Ireland do damage your skin, and that it is worth protecting them and, you know, reducing your risk of skin cancer, or as Bernie said earlier, keeping you younger looking and having young, healthy skin going into the future as well by protecting it from the sun.
Great, yeah. And I suppose, like, just adding on to that, we all noticed last year in COVID and the lockdown that the weather was beautiful. And I do know, you know, anecdotally in Ireland, we don't often believe that we get the sun, and we have behaviours such that if we go on holiday abroad, we buy sunscreen and we're very careful with our skin. But here in Ireland, maybe we don't believe we get the sun and maybe we don't protect ourselves in the way that we should. Would you have noticed anything like that happening?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think definitely people, you know, people have reported that some people will only use, you know, some protection measures when they're abroad. So I think it is really important. I mean, as I said, there's the fact that we're staying in Ireland more, but also, you know, hopefully, meeting outdoors more, which it's great to be outdoors, but it just means you're exposing your skin a little bit more. So, yeah, it's an important one to be conscious of the Irish skin being able to do damage as well. And I mean, Miss Erin on their, you know, miss.ie website, you know, they've looked at introducing now the UV index and just even summarizing it as low, you know, moderate or high. So at least you know that moderate means three or more and that you need to take protection, and that they will do that all year round just to get people used to seeing it and understanding it and responding to it in Ireland as well.
In Ireland, like, we have skin types, and I wonder, you know, from when you're out and about talking to people, do you think they know about skin types and what are, you know, the skin type risks for developing cancer and melanoma in particular?
Yeah, I know they may not know about the Fitzgerald skin type, but they would know, I guess, in general, as Native Irish, that we tend to be paler, we tend to be more freckly, we tend to possibly, not myself now, I think the Spanish Armada hit me, but tend to be more redhead, and that our risks are in general higher, that we are more at risk of getting sunburned. So I would say I would present to corporates, community settings, in schools. I think children, yeah, they may be aware that they burn easier if their skin is lighter, but again, I think it's still very important that we highlight that we're all at risk of skin cancer, regardless of our skin color. And the thing is about darker skin, people with darker skin tend to have lower levels of vitamin D. They can still get skin cancer. And I would know from working in the outback in Australia that often the skin cancers present later because they're harder to see. So I think that's important. And I think on that note, we should generally as well highlight the importance of protecting our skin. And as Trina's already talked about all the protecting factors, but a bit more on the sunscreen, in that, you know, we know there's no once a day sunscreen other than a tent. I think that's important. The once a days, do they work? We need to be very careful with that, especially with children. We know that the salt from the sea or the chlorine from the pools will take off any sunscreen. So I think these factors are very important, and reapplying every 2 hours at least, or more often if you're rubbing off or if you've been in the sea or in the pool. And I think as well, a bit more on the UVA protection and the sunscreen, as Trina said, the star rating is very important. And that was brought out by Boots in 1992. But in regards to the European recommendations, UVA written inside in a circle on the sunscreen would be one of the best indicators that the sunscreen also protects you against UVA. And when I'm talking and giving talks in schools, I would say UVA, A for aging, UVB, B for burn. So the UVB rays would burn the skin, the UVA rays age the skin, and together they both can cause skin cancer. So a sunscreen may say broad spectrum on it. That means UVA and UVB protection. The star rating is good, but it's not always the best. It's more the UK. So the UVA inside in a circle would be very, very important. And on that note as well, I'd love to chat to Trina a little bit about the vitamin D message, because we know vitamin D is very important, and we know as Celts in general and Irish people in general tend to be low in vitamin D. So, and there's a lot of talk around vitamin D at the moment. So I'd love a little bit of discussion around vitamin D.
Yeah, I mean, it's, as you said, it's so topical because of its role in our immune system. I think that's why, you know, you're hearing a lot about it at the minute. I mean, it's very important for our bone health as well. So where we are in the Northern Hemisphere, we wouldn't be able to get enough vitamin D from the sun anyway, you know, for most of the year. And while exposing your skin to the sun is a means of getting vitamin D, you know, you can also get this in foods and in, you know, fortified foods, fortified milk, or in supplementation. So I mean, it really is one about balance here, I think, in terms of, yes, knowing that it's an important vitamin to get, but also we don't want people thinking they should intentionally expose their skin to sun I'm just trying to top up my vitamin D and protect it, because we know you're going to increase your risk of skin cancer by doing that.
So the messages need to be very simple and clear, don't they, Trina?
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, vitamin D supplementation is all constantly being looked at for the Irish, you know, for the population living in Ireland in terms of the recommendations for younger children, and also looking now on older people requiring vitamin D supplementation. And there's you know, there's different reasons for that, and it can be a good thing to do. Some countries fortify foods with vitamin D, so you know, those are all important things for your general health, but it doesn't, you know, take away from the fact that we know that exposing your skin kind of intentionally, you know, will increase your risk of skin cancer. So we need to keep that in mind as well.
So yeah, so I think we've covered a lot here, haven't we, on children, you know, managing children, parents being aware, very aware of the risks for young children, you know, developing skin cancer should they get burned, young adults maybe using sunbeds and the risk factors there, and maybe a little bit more about outdoor workers. What's happening in Ireland at the moment, Trina, with the strategy and the implementation for outdoor workers?
Yeah, we've had a lot of engagement with some of the big employers in the country. And in particular, we did some pilot work with Cork City Council, have been great partners with us in terms of looking at, you know, how you can look at your working day, how you can sort of risk assess different jobs. I mean, people, you know, there are people who work outside for many hours per day. You know, what's the best thing in terms of advice for them around uniform, for example, you know, kind of simple things that can be put in place for them about planning their work day, about availability of sunscreen for workers. So there are a lot of things we've identified, you know, strategies that can be put in place in a policy. And that works, as I said, particularly well where you have a large employer and we've developed a lot of resources and toolkits that, you know, employers who are interested can look at. But then also looking at, you know, people who are working independently or, you know, through Chagas working with farm workers and, you know, those working in agriculture who again are, you know, it's really to do with, you know, the simple fact is you're outdoors more, you're outdoors all year round, and your cumulative exposure to UV radiation is going to be higher. So it's being conscious of that and really minimizing the risk as best you can in every way. So using, as I said, you know, through working through bodies like Chagas then as well to see what supports we can put in place for their members so they can really take sort of a careful look at their day. You know, it's the same measures around the whole, you know, correct clothing, sunscreen, hats, etc., shade and the sunglasses. It's trying to work, you know, work into, you know, how does that work with your occupation, and you know, are there particular tips that you're learning from one occupation that can be shared with another. So it's been really interesting as to how engaged people have been, really interested in learning about the UV index and as well, I think, and understanding how, again, you know, it doesn't have to be, it's not just the kind of very sunny couple of weeks of the year that UV radiation is there and at damaging levels for so many months of the year, that it's something that I suppose we want to have as second nature to outdoor workers, that their uniform, you know, it's not just about the hard hats if you're on the construction site, for example, it's also about protecting your skin.
Where is melanoma most found, for instance, on men as opposed to women?
Yeah, I mean, I know in terms of skin cancer, like exposed areas such as the ears and the neck can you know, Bernie might come in with more examples, but I mean, it is often, you know, areas like that have, you know, chronic exposure as well as the sunburn areas. But I mean, they tend to be the sunburn areas too. I mean, they are, I know we mentioned sunscreen a lot earlier, but there are areas where your clothing doesn't quite cover, and whether it's a little front bit at the front of your neck that people don't think of, and, you know, the back of your neck. I mean, people are familiar with the term rednecks, you know, in that, you know, it's just that people didn't quite get around with the sunscreen or didn't turn up the collar. So there's areas like that too, that, you know, that have the chronic exposure as well as sunburn exposure. You know, they both can play a role in skin cancers.
Mm. So Bernie, where would women expect maybe to see, you know, melanoma marks if their skin is exposed?
I guess melanoma can happen anywhere in the body, be it men or women. And it's important to say as well, melanoma can occur in the eye, melanoma can occur in the soles of the feet, but it tends to be generally more common in the trunk of men and in the limbs of women, in the legs or the arms of women. But I would hate to misguide people in the fact that they don't need to check other parts of their body, be it man or woman. The fact is we should all get to know our skin and all look out for changes in the skin. Know what to look out for. You know, we have a lot on the Marie Keating website about checking your skin, knowing the ABCDEs of the mole. And, you know, even one change needs to be checked out. Don't wait for a few changes. And especially as well, if there's a history of melanoma in the family, I think that's even very important. And, you know, melanoma can be hereditary as well. So I think, it can occur anywhere and it can occur in the eye, even though it would be rarer. So that's why, as Trina says, no one measure. Don't just think of the sunscreen. Remember protecting everything, using the wraparound glasses, ideally. And I can see myself in trying to get outdoor furniture. You just can't get it at the moment. I think everybody is planning to be outdoors, seeing we can't go abroad. We're going to be in our back gardens. So we need to protect ourselves at home. Sunscreen is not for just going away on holidays to other countries. Some protection measures are not just to be used when you go away. You know, in doing up the backyard for the summer, make sure you've got the good broad umbrellas. Make sure you've got the good protection measures, the shade if possible, and look after our skin, our children's skin, even in the back garden. So, and the melanoma, as we know, is the rarest type, but the more aggressive type of skin cancer. But it has a very high cure rate, providing we get it in time. So, you know, prevention is the best cure if we can do that. But we can't always prevent, you know, sometimes it's out of our hands. So just early detection and keeping an eye on ourselves.
Well, I think that's a lovely message to close off on here. I think the simple message is know your skin, isn't it? It's the biggest organ of your body. Know your skin. Know what maybe freckles you have or what moles you might have right at the outset, and notice any changes as you go along in life. And check all parts of your body, even those that you can't see. So it's getting a mirror out, or is getting somebody to check your back, or, you know, the soles of your feet. Really important to check your body and seek medical assistance if there's any changes. Go to your GP. Trina, any last words from yourself?
No, just to remember, as well as knowing your skin, do protect your skin. Remember the five S's, you know, to follow those, and you'll not only reduce your risk of skin cancer, but you'll stay nice and youthful looking as well.
Great. And Bernie, the last words from yourself.
I guess the last thing I would say as well is a sunburn doesn't have to be blistering red. You know, if your skin starts to turn pink, doesn't have to be sore, it can be sunburned. And for people with darker skin, it might be just the skin starts to feel itchy or dry. So yeah, look after yourself, stay young, stay safe, and we'll all do well. And I think just prevention, protection, take care of ourselves, take care of our children.
So that's it for this series of the Marie Keating Foundation Talks Cancer podcast. We would like to say a huge thank you to all our guests over the last 8 episodes for their time and expertise. We would also like to say a big thank you to our powerful patient voices who share their stories with such dignity and honesty. They truly are amazing to speak to. Of course, I must acknowledge our co-presenter, Celine Daly, my colleague, Bernie Carter, and to our sponsors, Novartis, for making this series a reality. A big thanks to you for listening in. We loved making this series, and we hope that our episodes help you or someone you love come to terms with what melanoma is, how it's treated, and how we can all reduce our risk.